Welcome, everyone. You're listening to episode 26 of Eminent Sports Talk Podcast. I'm Mark Morales alongside Nick Rivera. Nick, what's going on today?
I'm not doing well because I know it's in store.
Yep. We're going to be talking about the New York Knicks.
Ooh.
They've been so disappointing to watch this year. They've been, you know, they've been so, like, non-existent in the NBA world. It's crazy. They're only existent because of the jokes that get made because of how bad they are. That's the only reason why they're relevant. And that's unfortunate if you're a Knicks fan and a fan of basketball in New York, because, you know, the Knicks came into the season with tons of expectations. You know, obviously they weren't expected to win a championship, but they weren't expected to be the worst team in basketball again after having that title last year and getting the number 3 overall pick. And, you know, right now they're sitting at 4-17, last in the Eastern Conference. They're on a 7-game losing streak. And, you know, they're just in a very dark place right now, coming off the 44-point disastrous loss to Kareem City and the Milwaukee Bucks.
That's delicious. Imagine rooting for a team that goes by Kareem City. But anyways, the Knicks, 4-17, garbage. But hey, on the bright side, at least we're not the Warriors.
Yeah, but, you know, the Warriors, they are bad, but, you know, they're not at full strength. You know, they're missing Klay Thompson, they're missing Steph Curry, they're missing a bunch of key players, and they're playing a bunch of no-names right now. So, you know, yeah, they're bad, but they're not like the Knicks right now. Like if you're a Warriors fan, or if you're, you know, the 4 years front office, you know it, we're bad now, but at some point we're getting back really, really great caliber players. If you're the Knicks, who are you? Who are those guys? Like, who are those guys that you're like, all right, well, we're bad, but we know we're getting these guys back. You know, there's Alfred Payton. We're getting him back, so that's going to make us that much better. Marcus Morris. So, like, you know, like, being a Knicks fan, if you're a fan of the Knicks, you're in a much darker place right now than you are if you're a Warriors fan.
Damn, you got to make me feel like that. That's crazy.
The truth.
The Warriors, over the past month, they've put out some of the worst starting fives in NBA history. I've been looking at these lineups, and I'm like, who is that? What mailman, what plumber is that? I'm very concerned here.
Yeah, they've been a bunch of no-names, man. And that's what happens when you've been great for so long, and then all of a sudden you lose three top-tier players, you know, in KD, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson to you know, them leaving in free agency or to injuries. That's what happens when you're not ready for the rebuild.
And speaking of injuries, Marcus Morris, my guy. The New York Knicks, I swear, will forever be trash. And things will never go their way. This guy got injured by his one-year-old son. That's incredible.
What, he jumped on his back, right?
Something along the lines where he was at home. He said, you know what? I'm not nicking enough. Let me get hurt real quick.
In the most strange way possible.
And before we get in-depth on how garbage the Knicks are, there's at least one thing that could put a smile on my face. The New York Knicks are 4-17, and they're still more relevant than the Brooklyn Nets. That's incredible to me.
Yeah, and you know what's funny too? You know, I've been on record multiple times saying I didn't want Kyrie Irving. I preferred Kemba Walker over him. You know, Kyrie's missed a handful of games already for the Brooklyn Nets, and the funny part is, the Nets have been playing better without him than with him. Sort of like the Celtics, right?
Yeah, it seems to be a trend around here.
Yep.
But, hey, we didn't sign KD. We didn't sign Kyrie. We're last in the Eastern Conference. We're battling with the Warriors as the worst team in the NBA. And we're still more relevant. That puts a big old smile on my face.
And with the four wins that the Knicks have, two of them come against the Dallas Mavericks and the Kristaps Porzingis-Luka Doncic duo.
Ew.
And what's funny, too, is that, you know, KP's not really having a great season either. His shooting percentages are horrible. And I know he's coming back from an ACL injury, but, you know, it's not like his leg snapped in half. So, is he worth $158 million?
No.
Not at all.
Imagine just, like, whining, and then Mark Cuban's like, you know what, here's money. I wish I could do that. I'm going to, like, send them an email and just complain. And I guess it helps when your brother's your agent. Maybe I'll have my brother like send him an email too, and then he'll give me hundreds of millions. Who knows? I'll send him like a highlight video of me at the park airballing and getting bullied by people that are smaller than me.
Yeah.
Too soon. This guy's been working out for like 4 years, and I feel like he lost muscle. Like, my lord, come on now.
Yeah, he's definitely gotta pick it up a little bit. But yeah, we said how the Knicks were on a 7-game losing streak, and if you remember, 10 games into the season, when they got blown out by 30 to the Cleveland Cavaliers at home with James Dolan, Steve Mills, and Scott Perry in attendance, following the game they held a press conference. And, you know, Scott Perry and Steve Mills pretty much said, we got to pick it up. We got to play better. And it seemed like they were throwing David Fizdale under the bus a little bit and pretty much, you know, putting him on the hot seat. And now we fast forward 10, 11 games and, you know, they're still just as bad. And like I said, they're coming off the 44-point disgrace to the Milwaukee Bucks. And, you know, like, it makes you wonder, is David Fizdale going to last this entire season? And me personally, I don't really think so.
Yeah, David Fizdale is looking more and more like the Knicks head coaches of the past. No hope, no clue, no brain cells. Like last year, you know, they're actively trying to tank without, you know, saying anything because everyone's too scared to, don't say nothing. We're not really tanking, but we are. So they're going out trying to lose games, you know, the way to rebuild. And so they're out here putting out these horrendous lineups, these horrendous rotations. And, you know, Fizdale just looking like an awful coach. But, hey, they're trying to lose. All right. You got it, Chief. We come into this year. We signed some no-name free agents, 33 power forwards. I'm like, all right, let's see what we got. You know, and what do you know? The rotations, the switches, the lineups, everything gets worse. And I'm like, wait a minute, Fizdale. Are you trying to pull a fast one on me, or you have no idea what you're doing over there? I think he was another agent sent in by Phil Jackson to sabotage the Knicks.
Yeah, but, you know, you're absolutely right. David Fizdale doesn't seem like he has any clue what he's doing out there. And like you said, we saw it last year how, you know, some of his rotations weren't all that great. But again, you know, the idea was to tank for Zion, right? But now this year, like you mentioned, like the rotations are just as bad. And what blows my mind is that it seems like there's no like true play calling. There's no sets. There's nothing. There's no, you know, they're going into a timeout. They come out of it, they look worse than what they did going into the timeout. Like it seems like they have no idea what they're doing. And especially when it comes down to crunch time in the final 3, 4, 5 minutes of the game. And, you know, the Knicks are 4-17, but there's been multiple games, at least 5 games I could think of off the top of my head, where the Knicks could have won the game because they played well. It's just when it came down to the final few minutes, they just crumbled. And I think that's the most frustrating part as a Knicks fan, because I'll sit there, watch a game, watch them play great for 3.5 quarters, and then when 5 minutes in the fourth quarter hit, it just seems like they crumble. They have no idea what they're doing. And, you know, that comes that a big part of that gets put on the coaching staff and gets put on David Fizdale. You know, like I said, when they look like they don't know what they're doing and they go into a timeout, they come out of the timeout worse than what they did going into it. And it just seems like, you know, when they're in those huddles, it's like it's more like instead of coming up and drawing a play to get the ball to your best guy, it's more like, all right, you know, Julius Randle, I want you to take the ball, do what you do, and get a bucket. And, you know, that's not coaching. And
I thought you were going to say do what you do and get a turnover.
Well, that too, because that's 95% of the time, that's what happens. And I'm pretty sure I've said this early on too in one of our other podcasts, but I don't know how many times I could watch Julius Randle do that spinorama move and just kick the ball out of bounds or dribble it off his foot. Like, it's just so annoying. But, you know, as of late, though, he has been getting better with it. I do have to say that. He has improved a little bit on that. But, you know, I said the blame has to go on David Fizdale. But, you know, a big blame has to go on the players, too. You know, a lot of these players aren't playing up to the potential. And a perfect example is Julius Randle. And, you know, I'm being a little critical on Julius Randle. But at the same time, you know, the Knicks are really not using him right. You know, Julius Randle was never the go-to guy, was never the number one option, may never be the number one option in the NBA. You know, I think he's best suited as the second or the third option when you need a bucket. And another big part of it, too, is the Knicks don't have a true point guard to help set up the offense. You know, Julius Randle brings the ball up sometimes. RJ Barrett brings the ball up sometimes. Marcus Morris brings the ball up a lot. And, you know, for someone like Julius Randle, you know, that's not what he does best. You know, he does best when the point guard's getting double teamed and then they pass it to him and he's like the second or third option. You know, think about it this way. When Julius Randle was on the Lakers, who was their point guard?
Lonzo and Russell.
Well, D'Angelo, yeah. Well, mostly, I'm looking mostly at D'Angelo Russell. And yeah, Lonzo, was Lonzo there with him?
I think
it was just D'Angelo Russell, right?
Yeah, it was just Russell.
Yeah, D'Angelo Russell was his point guard. You know, yeah, he wasn't D'Angelo Russell that he is right now, but he was still better than what the Knicks have at the moment. Then he goes to the Pelicans. Who's his point guard there?
Rondo and Drew.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they've had guys that could help set up an offense, help get him the ball. You know, here on the Knicks, he doesn't have that. And, you know, that's really showing. And yeah, you know, he hasn't been having a great season for the Knicks. But, you know, a big part of that is not really necessarily his fault. It's the way that the Knicks are using him, hoping that he can be, you know, this number one option on the team when he never really was, maybe for the exception of high school. But, you know, it comes down to coaching and the fact that the Knicks do not have a solid point guard to help run this offense.
Mate, you know what the best part about that is? They signed 33 point guards, and they drafted a couple pills. And all of them, whack.
Yeah, well.
Smith Jr., whack. Frank Ntilikina, whack. Elfrid Payton, whack.
Yeah, and you know, like Elfrid Payton, like, you know, he was a guy, you knew what you were getting from. He's a guy who religiously plays only half the season due to injuries. So what were the Knicks really expecting there, signing him? Dennis Smith Jr., all right, I'll give you that one. He hasn't really played great at all this season. He's, you know, he's regressed a little bit at times. But to be fair, there has been no growth with this Knicks team. There's been no development. If anything, there's been regression from every single player. You know, every single player that's been here. Not players that they brought in, not people that they drafted this past offseason. The only player that I can truly say has looked like he's gotten the slightest bit better, the guy that's been developed a little bit and has grown just a tad, is Frank Ntilikina. And, you know, I don't think he's going to be that point guard, that starting point guard in the future who's going to average 20 points a game, you know, between 18 to 20 points a game. I don't think he'll ever get to that. But you have to admit that his defense has gotten so much better this season. You know, he's averaging 1.4 steals per game, which is his career high. His offense has been slightly better than it has in the past, you know, and he's also only 21 years old. But he's definitely been more aggressive. He's definitely been more confident out there, and that's huge. And, you know, this season he's shooting 38% from the field, which is the highest of his career. He's also shooting, you know, this is not great, but he's shooting 33% from three, which is also his career high. Not great, but it's been improving. And both of those averages have been the best of his career so far. The steals have been the best of his career so far, and his assists are up, 3.5 assists per game, which is his best of his career. So, I mean, he has been improving. Now, you know, he does need to score more, but the only person that I have seen growth from that's been here before is Frank Ntilikina. But other than that, there's been regression all around.
Yeah, and you know who I'm starting to get pissed about? Kevin Knox. What is good with this guy? Is this guy trash or what?
I was going to bring him up too. That's a good point. You know, he's a prime example of regression right now. What was his biggest knock on him was his defense.
I was going to say being bad at basketball.
But his defense hasn't gotten better, and his shooting is actually, you know, it hasn't really improved at all. He shot 37% from the field last year. He's shooting 37% now. He shot 34.3% from three last year. He only improved it to 35.1% this year. He went from playing 28.8 minutes per game to only 20, so his scoring is down. He went from averaging 12.8 to 7.9 this year. But he has looked horrible, like, for the exception of the first, like, week and a half of the season where he was shooting, like, hot from three, he hasn't looked great at all this year. And that's a big red flag right there. He's a guy that you invested the 8th overall pick in last year, or the 9th, whatever it was. It was either the 8th or the 9th last year. Let's see. It was the 9th overall pick in the 2018 NBA draft. You invested a lot in him, and he has regressed so much this year. And again, I think that goes to the coaching staff. It goes to all the people that are in charge of that. And, you know, that's bad, you know. And another guy, too, who, like, is starting to piss me off is Mitchell Robinson. You know, this guy, I love the guy. I like his game and everything. But this is a guy who has all the potential in the world to be one of the best centers in the NBA. but he cannot stop fouling. He cannot control himself out there. And it's so aggravating because he's a guy who can be a really good player, both offensively and defensively, but he just can't stay out of foul trouble. Like, almost every game, he has to miss multiple, like, tons of minutes because he's in foul trouble. You know, he ends games with 4 or 5 fouls a game. I think he has 4 games this season where he's fouled out of the game. And, you know, a big part of that, I think he's overly aggressive on defense. He's trying to chase down every defender. He's trying to get every block out there instead of letting the blocks come to him, letting the game come to him. And that's the biggest thing for him right now. And honestly, if he can't control himself and continues to have these problems, he might have a very short NBA career if he cannot stay on the court. And again, this has to come down to the coaching staff. You have to show this guy what to do and what not to do, when to defend, when to go for the block, when not to go for the block. And, you know, I don't think this coaching staff is the right fit for this team right now. That's just me. And I don't think David Fizdale is a very good head coach. And I wanted Mark Jackson from the get-go. I didn't want David Fizdale. I wanted Mark Jackson.
Uh-oh. You know what this means? It looks like it's another start to the rebuild for what, like the 38th season in a row?
That's so what it seems like. Going...
since, like, I feel like we've been rebuilding since 1996.
But yeah, so I think the Knicks have to clean house. And that starts with not only David Fizdale, not just David Fizdale, not just Scott Perry, not just Steve Mills. You have to get rid of all three of them. Start fresh, start clean. You know, they have a lot of first-round picks. They have a lot of future draft picks coming up soon. And like you said before, Nick, you know, the Knicks, it seems like, have been rebuilding for decades. And Steve Mills has been attached to a bunch of those rebuilds. And so clearly, you know, he doesn't necessarily know what he's doing. Maybe he doesn't know what he's doing. Maybe he doesn't know how to draft properly. But, you know, I think the Knicks need to bring in a guy for the front office. Bring in a guy, a proven guy who can hit on draft picks. Not only lottery picks, but also second round picks as well. Because, you know, you don't necessarily need a lottery pick to land a star. You know, look at Giannis. He wasn't a lottery pick. Donovan Mitchell wasn't a lottery pick. You know, Pascal Siakam, I'm pretty sure he might have been a second rounder. You know, there's a lot of stars in this league right now that weren't lottery picks. So you don't necessarily need to hit on just your top 10 picks, but other picks as well. So they need to bring in a guy who is proven, who knows how to draft and can draft properly. And they need to bring in a head coach who's going to develop a culture, get the defense going because they're horrendous on defense. You know, get the offense going because they're horrendous on offense as well. And they just need to start fresh and get this ship heading in the right direction.
I think we just need to bring in the Harlem Globetrotters for the NBA. But for my favorite Knicks draft story, I think that this had to be Phil. But my favorite Knicks draft story, speaking of Giannis, is when no one went to his – or everyone in the league went to his workout except one team. And that team was the Knicks. That gets me so happy. And then they just continue to draft bums.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't he draft Frank without seeing him play live?
I don't remember 100%.
But
I feel like I've heard that story too somewhere.
All hail the guru of Jackson. But anyway, I think their biggest issue is just overall low IQ. And I think what could really help them is bringing back Isaiah Thomas. I can't even finish it. But honestly, I don't even know what to do. I think you just gotta defunct the franchise, just let it go away, and just make a new franchise. Not the Nets, though. The Nets could do something else. They'll kick rocks. But I think we just need to burn the whole thing to the ground and then just make a new franchise.
You know, there's been rumors the past couple of days that the GM of the Raptors, I'm forgetting his name, I think it's Usari or Mussari, something like that. But either way, that there's people within the Toronto organization that fear that he might leave for the Knicks after this year. You know, this is all hearsay right now, and
why
I don't want to
do that.
Who knows? Because apparently the challenge, he would want to have the challenge of fixing the Knicks, and if you win in New York one time, you know, it's like you're a god. But either way, I'm not going to start sitting here on December 5th and start hoping and praying that they get him from Toronto, because Knicks fans have been here before where they hear hearsay and he said, she said, he said he wants to play here, he said he wants to come here, and it ends up not happening. So until pen hits the paper, I'm not believing anything I hear from from here on out. If he wants to come here, great. If the rumors want to start up and start getting serious, great. But you know what? I'm not going to take anything serious. I'm not going to start believing in anything until the pen hits the paper and the ink dries. So
I'm not going to hold my breath on none of those moves. The Knicks will always get the last place guy, the guy that was last on their want list. I've just lost all hope. I don't think I ever had hope to begin with, but it's just reinforced me. Like, I was down and they just kicked me. Like, I cut myself. I went to go show them to help me out, and they just put salt in it. I said, damn, that really hurt me.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a big reason, too, why the Knicks haven't had any success in free agency and stuff is, I think a part of it has to do with James Dolan. And I know you mentioned that a little bit earlier, but unfortunately, James Dolan's not going anywhere unless he drops dead somehow. But, you know, there might be some hope, because people said the same thing about the Wilpons and the New York Mets, and look what happened yesterday. You know, they just sold 80% of their stake of the franchise to this billionaire who potentially is, you know, in about 5 years, in 2025, he's going to have 80% of control of the team. So, you know, anything is possible.
Speaking of that, I don't get that. Why, if you're going to sell him, why do they need 5 more years of control? I don't understand.
I don't know. I didn't really, like, read up too much on it. I don't know. Maybe the current contract, I guess, the Wilpons have, maybe they have 5 more years. I don't really know 100% about that. But, yeah, if that's what they agreed on, yeah, that seems very weird to me. But, you know, I know for a fact that the guy who bought them has to get approved by all the other owners, I'm pretty sure. So maybe that takes a process and that takes time.
Yeah, I don't know. It seemed I was very shell-shocked. I said, wow, the Wilpons are going to be gone? That's crazy. Imagine Dolan being gone. That'd be wild. But the thing that bothers me the most is he leaves the Rangers alone.
I know.
Why does he not let the Knicks grow? Why does he just refuse to let them be a decent team? Why do they have to be last place every year?
And what blows my mind, too, is that free agents still want to come to New York for the Rangers. Look at Artemi Panarin. He was the Kevin Durant of the last offseason for the NHL, and he chose to come to the Rangers. He turned down more money from the Islanders to come play for the Rangers. So I don't get it. Free agents want to come to New York, but they only want to come if they're playing for the hockey team. But they don't want to come here for basketball. It just blows my mind.
Yeah, that's no surprise that he turned down the Islanders, the Nets of hockey. Get out of my face with that.
Yeah, but, you know, going back to the Knicks now, like, there's not really much to look forward to for the remainder of the season. Like, yeah, I want to see some development from RJ Barrett. I want to see some of these young guys play more, you know, like, going back to the rotation thing. Like, it blows my mind how Wayne Ellington gets more playing time during some games, and Damian Dotson and Alonzo Trier. Like, Dotson and Trier are proven NBA players. Like, Trier, yeah, needs to develop more of a team type of basketball. But Damian Dotson's legit. Like, he's a really good shooter. He's a good defender. He's a good player. And someone like Wayne Ellington, who's only good for three-pointers, like, the Knicks are not in a win-now mode, so they don't necessarily need him or need him to play as many minutes as he's been playing. And, you know, now, like, as we sit here at 4-17, I think the Knicks need to realistically start thinking about players, who they want to keep, who they want to trade. And if I'm the Knicks, you know, these are the people that I have on the trading block: Morris, Wayne Ellington, Bobby Portis, and Taj Gibson. Now, for Gibson, I'm willing to keep him because I like the vet presence. I like what he brings to the table. But if the price is right, then you let him go. Same with Payton. He's on the trading block too. Send them all out. The only one I'm seriously keeping is Julius Randle, because with the point guard and with the right system, I think he could be a really good player for the Knicks.
Yeah, I agree with everyone on the trading block except Randle, just for that one time he bullied whoever he did, and he just threw the ball in their face. Who was that? I don't remember.
That was Morris who did that.
Yeah, who did I just say?
You said Randle.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Yeah, I know. Everyone
could go except Morris, just for that one instant where he bullied that man. After that, I said, all right, he can stay.
But Morris, you know, he's been the Knicks' best player, so you might be getting the most from him in a trade situation, because right now he's shooting 42.4% from the field and 52.4% from three. He's been, like, amazing from behind the arc. You know, I do get on him a little bit because I don't like his shot selection. I don't like when he tries to play hero ball. You know, there was a game a few weeks back where The Knicks were either up or down by a few points, and this was in the final couple minutes of the game, and he tried to play hero ball in two straight possessions, and he tried to play for the foul, didn't get the layup, didn't get the foul call, and they ended up losing the game because of those two possessions. But, you know, if I'm the Knicks, and there's a contender out there that really wants Marcus Morris, I'm waiting till the very last minute, the very last second of the trading deadline, and waiting for a team to get fleeced, you know, waiting for a team to give in so you could fleece him. Because if Morris continues to play at this high level, if he's going to continue to shoot over 50% from the three-point line, which is crazy good, a contender will do whatever it takes to get him. So I am waiting, if I'm the Knicks, the very last minute, very last second to fleece a team, wait for a team to give in, and you know, maybe give two firsts, maybe give a first and a very highly thought of young player. But Morris, you have to get the most out of him in a trade. He is your best trade piece right now. And if he continues to play well, man, you know, you got to ask for the moon and the stars for him.
The moon and the stars. But who are they going to – they would trade him and get absolutely no one in return. That's the thing.
At least get first round – get at least one first-round pick. Now, I'm not just trading him for one pick, but if you're going to trade him, at least one first-round pick has to be involved in the package. That's just me.
I don't think they're going to get that, though. I don't know who's giving that up for him.
A contender that would like three-point shooting. A contender will do whatever it takes to get three-point shooting.
Damn, it's that serious nowadays? That's crazy.
I mean, if he's going to continue to shoot over 50% from the three-point line.
I see your point. I see your point.
But, like, yeah, so he should be on the trading block. Ellington, Portis, Payton, and again, Gibson. But, you know, again, I'd like to keep Gibson, but if the price is right, you let him walk. What about you?
Taj Gibson, he could go. He could go for free. I'm not going to miss him.
You think anybody else should be involved in the trading block? Or
honestly, they're 4-17. I don't think anything would be a different. Just don't trade RJ and we're good.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, do whatever you want.
You know, now let's talk about RJ for a little bit. You know, he's averaging 14.7 points per game. He's shooting 39.6% from the field, 31.7% from three, and 53.3% from the free throw line. And, you know, RJ Barrett, I mean, he's been playing pretty well for the Knicks for the most part this season. He's had a couple of games where you're like, all right, yeah, this guy truly is a rookie. But, you know, for the most part, he's been playing really well, and he's one of only three players on the Knicks team that's averaging 10 or more points per game. So, I mean, he looks like a legit NBA player, but you know what's funny? I wanted three players in this draft. I wanted either Zion, Ja Morant, and RJ Barrett. And out of the three of them, I wasn't that high on RJ Barrett. I thought that he disappeared a little bit in Duke last year when Zion went down with the injury. And I was really high on Ja Morant, especially back in February. When I was working for Metro US newspaper, I wrote an article on him back then when he was on Murray State. And I was like, this is a guy who is going to translate to the NBA well. You know, he has a lot of the skills that NBA executives want. And, you know, looking back, you know, I love RJ Barrett. I truly think he's going to be a great, great player for the Knicks moving forward. But I think the Knicks would have been better off with Ja Morant as opposed to RJ Barrett right now. And you know, I know people out there are going to say, oh, well, the Knicks didn't even have a chance to draft Ja Morant. He was drafted right before him. I get that. I know that. But looking back, if the Knicks had the opportunity to – if Ja Morant or RJ Barrett were available at three for the Knicks, I think Ja would have been better off. I think the Knicks would have been better off with Ja right now than RJ Barrett solely because of the fact that Morant seems to be a very, very good point guard in the NBA. And that's a position that the Knicks have needed for a very long time.
Yeah, RJ, he's been the lone bright spot in this Knicks team. I'm a big RJ guy, but I mean, if the cards folded differently, Ja Morant would have been pretty clutch. He's been showing he's probably going to win Rookie of the Year.
Like, yep.
Without any competition, not and no competition, but he's really, I knew he was going to be good, but like he's like been, I feel like outperforming a lot of expectations, and he just looks like immediately ready. Like there's like, I feel like most top five, if not all top five picks, should be pretty much difference makers immediately, but mm-hmm. I feel like he's going above and beyond like what rookies should
be able to do and should be expected to do.
And he didn't even go to a big time college either.
I know. What Murray State? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. They, I think the Memphis, they kind of, it worked out. They got rid of Conley. I feel like he's like a fall. I didn't want them to get rid of Conley, but if you're going to bring in Ja Morant and let him take over a team like the way he did, it worked out. I feel like it could have. I mean, the Grizzlies weren't really going anywhere. So, worst case scenario, I guess, it doesn't work out, but hey, it did. And where'd they trade? He's on the Jazz now, right?
Yeah.
I haven't heard a peep from him. How's he? Is he alive over there?
Yeah, I mean, they're doing all right over there in Utah.
12-10, not bad. No, yeah. They just got blown out by the Lakers.
Yeah, the Lakers are just incredibly good right now.
Let me see this stat line. Where is he at?
For Conley. Oh,
my goodness. He didn't even play any minutes. What? He's not alive over there.
Wow.
He's not doing well. He's not doing well.
Yeah, I'm going to check his stats right now.
Someone help him. Someone go get that boy.
And I don't know if you guys can hear, but my dog's like freaking out right now.
Yeah, she knows we're talking about Mike Conley. She knows where he's hiding.
Yeah.
She knows where he's actually trapped.
He's day-to-day. He did not play in Wednesday's game.
He fell down a well.
He has a hamstring injury. But, I mean, right now he's averaging 13.9 points per game for the Jazz. So not like crazy good, but not terrible either. And you know, going back to Ja Morant, like he is such a difference maker. He's right now he's out with back spasms, but in 17 games that he's played, he's averaging 18.6 points per game, 6.4 assists per game, 1.4 steals per game, shooting 45.7% from the field and 41% from three. So yeah, like you said, if he continues to play this way and comes back from the injury fine, I think he's a lock for Rookie of the Year. And, you know, I thought RJ Barrett was going to win it. But, you know, RJ's been playing fine. He's been playing great for a rookie and for the Knicks. But Ja Morant, by far, is the best one out of the class right now, in my opinion.
My pick before the season started was Achimura. He went off recently.
Yeah, he did. I think he had a career high 27 points or something like that.
Whoa, he had 30. Put some respect on that name. He had 39-3. What a goat. Against the Clippers, too.
Wow, not bad.
So, I'm still on the Achimura hype train.
Yeah.
I'm ready. But, yeah, man, Ja Morant, goat. RJ, goat in the future. So many goats in this draft. Except Porzingis. That guy's a bum.
Yeah, he's, like I said, he's not really having a great season, Porzingis. But, yeah, you know, anyway, you know, so the Knicks, 4-17, we'll see what happens with them. You know, like I said earlier, I don't expect David Fizdale to last that much longer this season, if he even lasts the whole season at all. I think it'd be in the best interest of the Knicks to just clean house completely, start fresh, get a new GM, new head coach. And unfortunately, Dolan will be there for the foreseeable future unless something drastic happens to him. But right now, the Knicks need to improve. You know, tonight they're playing the Denver Nuggets. There'll be no easy task after losing by 44 to the Milwaukee Bucks. So they're 4-17 right now, and they're on path to be they're on track to be the worst team in the NBA for the second straight year. We'll see if they can improve. We'll see if there's somewhat growth, somewhat any type of development in this Knicks team. But right now, Nick, it's not looking too bright, and it's looking like another dark, dark year for the New York Knicks.
Yeah, I think that no one told the Knicks. I think they're still trying to tank for Zion. I don't think they realize he got drafted already. He's just out.
And speaking of Zion, just real quick, like this dude, is he going to play at all this year? He's supposed to come back around Christmas time, and there was just an update yesterday. Yeah, there was just an update yesterday saying the Pelicans might hold him out longer
than
when he was expected to come. But whatever, that's their problem now. Maybe, like I said from the get-go, maybe the Knicks got a blessing in disguise.
Ooh. Was it really, though? They were going to be garbage anyway.
Yeah, but RJ looks like the real deal. Looks like he's a good building block to have. But anyway, we'll see what happens moving forward with this Knicks team. You've been listening to episode 26 of MNN Sports Talk Podcast.